Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge. Not over our country, but now might be the time to panic over something else. Not over the country, but over an iconic product that I don't know many people admit that they like. Now, I'm going to be frank. I really think they're kind of ugly. But a lot of people seem to like these things. And they seem to be prevalent in certain parts of the country, with certain age groups and certain types of people, if you will. And there are certain, you know, places within in states or cities or what have you that you'll find more of these than you will in other parts of a city or what have you, you know, like trailer parks or something like that. But that is the venerable Pink Flamingo. Yes, the Pink Flamingo. Well, now maybe if you are a Pink Flamingo, lawn ornament lover, now may be the time to panic. Because it appears that yesterday, I didn't even know that there was, well, I didn't. Can you believe there is such a person who actually did this? But hey, only in America. There is an actual inventor or creator of the plastic pink flamingo lawn ornament. The pink flamingo creator creator of the pink flamingo lawn ornament, which also spawned, I do believe there was a Beanie Baby, and there are other offshoots from of the pink flamingo lawn ornament that you can, I think, you know, there's like little statues and desk ornaments and tchotchkes and stuff like that. But the pink flamingo lawn ornament creator, Donald Featherstone, passed away yesterday. He was 79. Now I knew that there was a person who created. However, I didn't know where he resided. And it, as the story says on CNN, he resided in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, which is not really all that far from me. Actually, he died Monday. I didn't know he lived in Fitchburg, but not that I really cared. But you know, he could. He made millions of dollars in licensing fees and stuff and royalties and stuff off of this rather unsightly thing. Rod, they look like the real pink flamingos down there. You can see down in Florida and stuff. No, they don't. they really don't. I've seen plenty of them and they don't. I'm just thankful that they're not, because, you know, the flamingo birds are actually very large birds. They're like blue herons, great blue herons. They're huge birds. And I'm thankful that most pink flamingo lawn ornaments are nowhere near the size of the actual real life bird, because they'd be huge. And I don't think people would want something that size on their lawn, but he did pass away. At the age of 79, so says his wife Nancy Featherstone. Now, I don't, Featherstone, it sounds like it's a Native American name. I don't know. I don't know if he, you know, it doesn't claim that he is. I don't know if he is or isn't. But basically, Kato Company, who still manufactures those pink flamingos, announced that his wife Nancy told them that Donald passed away. He was, everybody loved him, I guess. Everybody said, you know, he says he was just a nice person. But he had a lengthy battle with Lewy body dementia. Now, I have no idea what that is, by the way. I've never even heard of it. But evidently it's a disease that finally ended up, killing him. But, he developed these things a long time ago. They were popular in the late 50s. The 60s saw a rejection of all things parental and plastic in favor of classier lawn decor, but in the 70s welcomed back the bad taste and schlock. Especially when the John Waters movie Pink Flamingos came out in 72, the uncool bird was once again cool. Now, these things once sold for $2.76 a pair. And pink flamingos have been all over the place ever since then. And they're just such kitsch. Anyway, it's sorry to see an American, an inventor of an American icon to pass away. But he did. At the age of 79 on Monday, Donald Featherstone, the creator of the pink flamingo plastic lawn ornament. Only in America, folks. Well, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, my fellow Americans. It is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere in the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. And yes, I looked again today, checked again today, and it still says live free or die. It is Thursday, June the 25th in the year of our Lord, 2015. If you wish to call me this evening live on our toll-free number, the number is 603-835-3224. Again, that's 603-835-3224, and you will get connected directly to yours truly, me, moi. That moi, that's French for me. For those of you in Rush Limbaugh's Real Linda. This whole Southern, you know, the Confederate flag thing, you got to start asking, are blacks part of the problem? Are we part of the problem that we say is out there? Because I know we got this silly notion of white supremacist, white supremacy, institutionalized. What the hell is institutionalized racism? Now, slavery would be institutionalized racism, but we don't have slavery. So what exactly do they mean when they say institutionalized racism? Now, I'm not going to speculate on what they're talking about, even though I probably know exactly what they mean by it. But I want somebody from the left to tell me exactly what, one of you people out there who perpetuate this notion that there is institutionalized racism and that there is this promoted white supremacy issue. I want to know what you mean by that. You got to tell me. But anyway, as I was saying before the break, they're gonna be saying goodbye to the Dukes of Hazzard generally. And now, in the wake of the deadly South Carolina shooting and the decision by several major retailers to stop selling merchandise featuring the Confederate battle flag, the toy spawned by the hit TV series Dukes of Hazzard that became a Southern icon wearing those colors will no longer be produced. While the car hasn't been in front of a camera since 2007, a direct-to-video sequel of the 2005 movie starring Johnny Knoxville, the General Lee remains a popular die-cast and model toy widely available online. Now, one of the original cars used in the series sold for $110,000 at auction in 2012 to PGA golfer Bubba Watson. Bubba. Now, before people say, well, see, yeah, I said Bubba. You know, there are black people named, black men named Bubba. Not just white men. There are black men named Bubba. Now, following the move by Walmart, Amazon, eBay, and others, the steps by political leaders in South Carolina, Virginia, and elsewhere to remove the flag from state capitals and license plates, Yahoo Autos reached out to Warner Brothers Consumer Products, the branch of the movie studio that licenses toys for the series, asking about the general lease status. This is the official reply. Warner Brothers Consumer Products has one licensee producing die-cast replicas and vehicle model kits featuring the General Lee with the Confederate flag on its roof, as it was seen in the TV series. We have elected to cease the licensing of these product categories. Now, at the time the Dukes of Hazzard premiered in 1979 on CBS TV, the placement of the Confederate flag and the naming of the 69 Dodge Charger driven by Bo and Luke Duke after the South's most famous general drew few, if any, protest. Of course they didn't. It was just a stupid, campy, fun TV show. Now, after the South's a state that persisted through the end of its original run in 85, the show was based in part on real-life exploits of bootlegger Jerry Rushing, who named his old Chrysler Traveler, with one L, after Lee's horse. Now, only in recent years has General Lee's Confederate flag and its associations with the defense of slavery and white supremacy in America has drawn more backlash. Now, in 2012, Warner Brothers shot down rumors that it was removing the flag from the car, but fan clubs where replicas gather remain adamant in the display of the original. And I don't blame them. If you've never seen the Dukes of Hazzard, you really got to try to. You got to be able to play. I don't know. Maybe you won't be able to get it anymore because you know it has Confederate flags in it. And that's just silly. I watched the Dukes of Hazzard. It was just a silly, campy. You know, it came on Friday. Was it Friday nights or Saturday nights? It came on Friday nights. It was just a silly, campy, you know, good, wholesome television show. I mean, it was. I'm at a loss here. I can't believe that we have gone so. This is one of those things about political correctness that really gets my goat. Is that things that are innocuous and innocent and harmless get trampled on. Simply because somebody on the left who wants to be ultra PC has decided that a symbol of something, should not be allowed to stand. That nobody, no matter who they are, should be able to utilize it, have it, keep it, hold it, treasure it, you know, what have you. But what they don't tell you is that a lot of this, look, you know, you can look at the 1950s and 60s. Types of things. So, you know, that's a bad dream to have simply because you believe it's, you know, what white people wanted. That doesn't make any sense. So it's better for blacks to what? Stay in the ghetto, government housing in the projects because, you know, that's better. They shouldn't strive to live in a three-bedroom, you know, two-and-a-half-bath house with a two-car, car attached garage. Because that's a white supremacist ideal of life. I don't get it. Seems to me that the racism is on the reverse. You're trying to tell us that, well, no, blacks should stay where they are. They shouldn't strive for a white type of middle class living. Well, just because white people live that way doesn't mean that everybody, you know, wants to be try to be white. They just like the way people live that who live that way. They want to be middle class. They want to be upper class. Is there anything wrong with that? No. That's white supremacist, really. This political correctness nonsense is going to end up not only dividing the country, but causing and forcing a lot of people to stay in their economic class. So by fiat, there's going to be less upward mobility, if you will, of different ethnic groups, because hey, after all, upward mobility is nothing but a white supremacist ideal, right? You know, making more money, that's a white supremacist ideal. You know, raising a family with a mom and a dad, that's a white supremacist ideal. You know, living in the middle class neighborhood and sending your kid to a good school or a private school, well, no, that's a white supremacist ideal. No, living in a safe neighborhood, not having to worry about your kid getting shot by a drive-by, that's a white supremacist ideal, according to the left. It's ludicrous, folks. It's absolutely ludicrous. And I'm not talking about the rapper. The rap artist, you know, Luda. Not him. Ludicrous is in absolutely stupid. Now I'm sure that somebody's going to say, "Well, that's a white supremacist word, Rod." Well, then tell that to Luda. I'm sure he would disagree. But you know, then if he disagreed, he'd be, he'd be one of those tomfooleries who has was it Munchausen syndrome or whatever? Stockholm syndrome. Because, you know, he makes all this money and, which by the way, not a lot of white people are involved in their records. But, you know, hey, you know, that's what I'm guessing Motown is probably, the original Motown is probably going to be seen as, you know, some sort of white supremacist ideal. You can't get away from this kind of insanity, insane type of political correctness from these people. They just won't let you. And they won't stop. You know, you think they're going to stop at the General Lee? At the car. You know, this reminds me of a time. Obviously not a time that I experienced firsthand, because it was a very long time ago. But it reminds me of a time back in the day in a place called ancient Egypt where pharaohs, when a pharaoh came into power and if he didn't like the previous pharaoh, what were they known to do? They were known to have tried to erase the memory, the history of the previous pharaoh that they did not like. You know, defacing all their monuments with their faces on it, removing or painting over all their, you know, their pictographs and their stories that were telling of their battles and their achievements and whatnot. You know, the removal of the papyrus that had all their doings and their birth records and that kind of stuff. Just trying to erase the memory from history of the previous pharaoh that the current pharaoh did not like. Funny thing is that you can't fully erase history. Not even back then. Now, you can, you know, really forget about it today with the internet, but even back then, they could not fully erase somebody from history. How do we know? We know that they have attempted to fully wipe people from history, but we happen to know who those people are in most cases. because there was history that remained on them somewhere. So even back in ancient Egypt, they could not get away and totally eradicate history. And yet we have people today, in this day and age, that think that they can actually do that. They can just go ahead and eradicate the history that they don't like. You know what? We don't like the old South and, you know, all it stood for and the Confederacy and all that. We're just going to wipe that off the map. No more Confederate flag anywhere. Nobody, forget the fact that, you know, Bill and Hillary fully endorsed and embraced the Confederate battle flag numerous times, both while Bill was governor and as president of these United States. And now you have Hillary running out there talking about, well, everybody, we need to remove this flag from everywhere. And you know what? She basically wrapped herself up in it. But that's okay, because now she says to get rid of it. She's become enlightened. She's grown. She knows better now. Really? What a bunch of bunk. What a bunch of phony baloney, good time, you know, banana hacking, idiotic, liberal. I'm not going to say that because it'll get me in trouble with the FCC. Look. This is just, you know, it's not time to panic yet, folk, but it's only time to panic over the pink flamingos. It's not time to panic over this nonsense with PC correctness and the Confederate. This will blow over. They'll end up trying other things and going after the U.S. flag for one, and they'll go after other symbols of capitalism and freedom and claim that it's about, you know, racism and slavery and everything. But hey, you know, one thing you have to understand about racism and slavery is that there were blacks in Africa that started the trade. You know, they sold other black Africans into slavery. You don't hear much about that. All you hear about is the white people. That, you know, white people hate blacks. Really? Well, they did business with them. That's how they got their slaves. So I don't... You know, well, it is what it is. Supreme Court upholds another law. They uphold broad housing discrimination claims. Yes, a divided U.S. Supreme Court on Thursday, and this is from Reuters. A divided U.S. Supreme Court on Thursday embraced a broad interpretation of discrimination claims allowed under the landmark Fair Housing Act, a blow to lenders and insurers that face such lawsuits, and had urged the court to curb them in a 5-4 decision in a major civil rights case out of Texas. The court preserved a legal tool that has been used for decades to bring bias lawsuits over actions that have a discriminatory effect, even with no evidence of discriminatory intent. Oh, so now it doesn't even matter what the intent is. But, you know, the other law there was all about intent, wasn't it? yeah, it was. You know, the Obamacare law, it's all about intent. But now it doesn't matter what the intent is. It's all about fitting what they want to fit, folks. Really, that's all what it's all about.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With a Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Listening to The Rod Eggles Show.
Yes, indeed. 603-835-3224 is the number to call, toll free, if you wish to join me in this last segment on the Radical Show for this evening. I know this is the fastest 2 hours on internet talk radio. There is a poll. This is from The Hill. There's a poll out there, a second poll. A second consecutive poll has found that Donald Trump is surging into second place among GOP presidential contenders in New Hampshire. Now, folks, this is early. Again, not time to panic yet. It's early. Now, according to a CNN WMUR poll, why WMUR is teaming up with CNN is beyond me. WMUR is they're an NBC station, I think, affiliate. Anyway, so according to a CNN WMUR poll released today, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush leads the field in the Granite State with 16% support, followed by Trump at 11%. Every other Republican presidential candidate is polling in the single digits in New Hampshire. A Suffolk University poll released on Tuesday also showed Trump moving into second place, trailing only Bush in New Hampshire. Now, in addition, Fox News poll released on Wednesday found Trump has jumped into second place nationally behind Bush. Now, voters in New Hampshire said Trump, a real estate mogul and reality TV star who says he's worth billions, is best. He doesn't say he's worth. He's not the Forbes says he's worth billions. Who says he's worth billions is best equipped among all of the Republican candidates to handle the economy. Now, 29% choose Trump, with Bush being the next closest candidate, 13% to handle the economy. Well, he is a successful businessman. And I know he said formally announced he's in the race. I just have a really hard time understanding that. For the simple fact that, he would be giving up a lot. Not to mention a humongous pay cut. I love how they say, well, he says he's worth billions. Well, the man is a billionaire. I mean, Forbes takes this stuff pretty seriously when they try to rank people, and they say he's a billionaire. So, look at all the real estate that he owns or controls. Yeah, that's, worth some money. But look, I know. People are probably saying, oh, my God. I can just see it now. If Trump actually wins the Republican nomination, I can just see it now. How many Republicans are going to stay? I think more Republicans would stay home and not vote than if Jeb Bush were to receive the nomination. I'm serious about that. And that's just that's sad. That's too bad. Simply because, Trump he's not I do not believe he's the best candidate that we have right now in all the group of candidates that we have, but he is far better than anything that the Democrats can throw at us. You do not believe that Trump is better than, is not better than Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. Really? Seriously? I know that he has said some, really blue rhino type of, liberalistic type of policy stuff. He said it in the past. I understand that. I really do. But if you're talking about foreign policy and you're talking about domestic economy and you're talking about protecting the southern border, he wouldn't be a bad choice. You want to talk about a stern and stiff negotiator? If you're going to give the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Trade Pact to any president, you might as well give it to Donald Trump. Because that guy, he's in for his idea of win-win is he wins. Seriously. I know some of you, well, geez, Rod is just heaping all kinds of praise on Donald Trump. Is he going to support Donald Trump? No. You have to understand, Donald Trump is an icon of mine. He's an economic business hero of mine. If you want to be in the real estate game, you have to read up on how Trump did it. You know, he's a case study. The man, you know, when it comes to real estate and business in real estate and things like that, and growing a brand, you know, he turned the Trump name into a huge brand. Can't deny that. He's a brilliant man in that sense. He's a brilliant negotiator. This guy, he has never declared bankruptcy personally, ever. Yes, some of his businesses have. That's no different from other businesses declaring bankruptcy. But he has always avoided it simply because he has been a masterful negotiator. So, you know, you can say what you want about him. But, you know, if anything, I think what our government should be doing is utilizing this guy's expertise in negotiation. Because, as I said, his idea of a win-win is Donald Trump wins. It doesn't mean everybody else wins. It just means Donald Trump wins. That's a win-win for Donald. And that's what you need when you're dealing with foreign nations who want to try to bury your own nation. And you want somebody that goes in there and says, well, yeah, I'm here looking for a win-win type of proposition, which means I win. Plain and simple. That's what we want. We want that type of mentality. And I can tell you there are a lot of countries that aren't going to want a deal or negotiate with Donald Trump. And that's fine. We don't need to do business with him. Just so it wouldn't, instead of him being president, maybe he should be our trade negotiator. Maybe we should do something like that for the Donald. But, you know, it is what it is. Hey, Hillary in New Hampshire, Hillary and Bernie Sanders are in a statistical dead heat. So Hillary's lost her mojo. New poll, New Hampshire poll finds that Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are in a statistical dead heat for the Democratic nomination. Again, all of this stuff is really early, folks. We haven't even gotten to the debates on either side yet. We haven't, everybody who's going to get into the race on either side, Democrats and especially Republicans, have not gotten into the race yet. I mean, you know, there could be a couple other Democrats that float their presidential hat in the waters. We know that they're, Chris Christie, I guess, just announced that. I almost missed that one. Chris Christie announced today. That he's run. I guess he announced. I didn't see it or hear it. So, but I'm told that Chris Christie announced today that, you know, that he's running. I'm kind of surprised about that. I didn't think he'd get in this time around. And Bobby Jindal too kind of surprised me with, I didn't think he was going to do it, but you know, he did. And we're still waiting for Scott Walker and a couple of others, possibly. So, you know, before this is all done, we could have 20 contenders on the Republican side. So, what are we at? Like 14, 15 now? So we got a little ways to go. But, yeah. Now, in order to make all this complete, does anybody know where Ross Perot is?
I'm over here. And anybody's got any ideas about how I can run and win, well, I'm all ears. Yeah, these things in my head, they're ears too. But that's not the ears I'm talking about. I'm talking about how I can win and be president of the United States of America. Because I almost did it back in 1992. I took the presidency away from George W. Bush. George H.W. Bush, that is. Because I was all ears back then, too. Those black helicopters flying around trying to ruin my wife's wedding.
but, yeah, we got, well, so Ross Perot's not around. Well, we'll have to see. Hey, the IRS, well, does anybody know where he is? I haven't heard from good old Ross. He's still alive, right? I think I would have heard if he had passed away. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. IRS erased Lois Lerner emails even after a subpoena. So it says an audit, up to 24,000 emails completely lost. You know, that is just a massive amount of data. For people who are supposed to, you know, they make these laws, they're supposed to keep these laws. You know, let me take a break from that for a second. Speaking of business, I just learned today that, this is still the land of opportunity. Now, I'm not going to advertise for this person, but there is somebody that I know that they decided to get into quote unquote fashion business. And what I mean by fashion business, basically they design t-shirts. And they came up with all these wonderful t-shirt designs. And evidently he is earning buku bucks on these t-shirts. Now when I say buku bucks, they're not your average everyday t-shirt. Now, yes, you can, you know, find them online, at an online store, but they're in some of the most exclusive types of stores in the country. You know, we're talking, these are t-shirts, graphic t-shirts that are being sold on Fifth Avenue, New York, and Newberry Street here in Boston, Rodeo Drive out in California, those types of places. And you're probably saying, well, geez, I don't know, how much is the t-shirt going for? One of his least expensive t-shirts sells for $110. He has a t-shirt that he sells. It's a graphic, full graphic t-shirt. You know, the entire front of it is of art that he's done. He's designed. Goes for $235 for a t-shirt. And he's selling them like hotcakes. So people can't tell me that there is no room for opportunity or growth or the American dream anymore. And I found this, I'm like, really? $110 for a t-shirt? I mean, that's insane. Who would do that? Well, obviously people that can afford to buy a $110 t-shirt. Would I? And no, there's no like gold leaf or gold or anything on these things. And evidently, you know, the fabric care of these things is you can, you know, wash it in cold water in your washing machine. Not your top load washer, I guess is, but your front load washer will do fine, but wash it in cold. But still $110. Now I think I'm using Woolite and washing that thing in by hand, but, and $235 for a t-shirt. I don't think I have a dress shirt that costs $110. I've got a couple of really nice dress shirts, and I I've got some Calvin Klein in there, and yeah, you know, I got the, you know, some of the top, you know, promoted brands, if you want to call them that, and I didn't spend that kind of money. And I got to say, I look good in these shirts, but $110? And they're dress shirts. But this is $110 for a t-shirt. You know, the thing that goes under that dress shirt. But he's an independent designer. And, you know, he collaborates with a few other people, evidently, the manufacturer of the t-shirts and things like that, the screen printer and things like that, obviously, you know, he doesn't screen print them himself. And I guess it gets pretty intricate. So, you know, he's got to design it, and then there's got to be a design engineer or something to help fabricate the screen printing press and that type of thing. But, you know, he talks about all the government regulation that he has to go through, you know, just for being basically an independent designer, in that he has to keep track of all this stuff. You know, he's got to keep this stuff for his records. And here we have the IRS just flouting the law. You know, hey, there's a subpoena for all these Lois Lerner emails. You know what we're going to do? Who actually does this? If you have nothing to hide, who does this? Oh, there's a congressional subpoena for all these emails. Okay, hit the erase button. Delete, 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 delete. Who does that? I don't get. How people spend $235 for a t-shirt. But the IRS erased backup tapes with Lois Lerner emails even after the messages were subjected to congressional subpoena, likely permanently losing as many as 24,000 emails. The tax agency didn't actually destroy some of its backup tapes, but only degaussed them, which meant the agency's inspector general was able to back and recover the messages. Who does that kind of thing? Basically, what they did was they destroyed evidence. As many as 24,000 may have been permanently lost emails, but the inspector general has managed to recover about 1,000 messages from tapes because the IRS only degaussed them, the tapes, but didn't destroy them. So degaussed, D-E-G-A-U-S-S-E-D. Hope I pronounced that correctly. Still, the move to erase the tapes after they had been requested by Congress didn't sit well with the oversight chairman, Jason Chaffetz, who accused IRS chief John Kozinen of obstructing Congress's investigation into the emails and Tea Party targeting. They destroyed evidence. That's what they did, said the Utah Republican. Now, he wondered whether it was a coincidence that the erasure came just a month after President Obama dismissed Tea Party targeting scandal as a non-issue. Well, no, it's not a coincidence. No such thing as a coinkadink in politics. They did it on purpose because they knew exactly what they're doing. And this whole notion that this is troubling, it shouldn't be troubling. Somebody needs to go to jail for obstruction of justice and obstruction of Congress. Plain and simple. Whoever erased them, the IRS chief who was in charge at the time, needs to go to jail. Directly to jail. Do not pass go. I mean, this whole notion that these people can just get away of doing this kind of thing all the time is absolutely redonkulous. And that's my new favorite word, redonkulous. It means ridiculous, but it just sounds kind of hip. Redonkulous, redonk. But who, again, I gotta ask, who does this kind of thing on a regular basis? Now, Representative Elijah E. Cummings, the ranking Democrat on the Oversight Committee, says there was nobody who did anything intentionally to hinder our investigation. Oh, really? So 24,000 emails just get permanently erased after, your group subpoenas them, and you say nobody intentionally. When you try to erase tapes or you destroy them, that's not a coinkadink, that's not an accident. And accident, for those of you in Rush Limbaugh's Rio Linda, that's the way I like to pronounce accident.
Well, why don't you pronounce things correctly, Rod? I mean, you're just perpetuating that whole stereotype that y'all people just can't speak normal.
Because I like to play with words. Because I happen to know the original meaning of words, I often like to play with them. It's fun. That's why I say I play with them, because it's fun. And, it really ticks off some very stuffy, stodgy people. Liberals as well as some ultra-right-wing people can really have a stick up their butt that they need to remove. I don't understand. How can you go through? Why is it liberals always seem to be so unhappy? They're always angry. They're angry. They're always fighting something. Yeah, fight for this and fight for that and fight for this right and fight for this right and fight for that right and this ability and you know, equality. We've got to fight for this equality. They're never happy. As if the world has never, you know, embraced whatever they believe. Well, maybe the world never did embrace what they believe in, but they're always trying to fight you and force you into doing something or believing something that you don't want to do or believe in. It's just fight, 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 fight with a sourpuss on their face. You know, they're never happy. They're always trying to shout you down. What is that all about? Can somebody tell me why liberals... You've gotten a lot of stuff over the past 6 years. You think you'd be happy by now. At least crack a smile every once in a while. Why are these people always so miserable? The PC people, well, you can't say this. You got to get rid of this flag and that flag, and you can't have the General Lee anymore, and you can't say use this word, and you can't use that word. Why? They're never happy. You can't use that word niggardly because it doesn't mean what it means because it sounds like another word and you can't use it. Well, everybody else is using the N-word. Even Obama used the N-word. Well, that's different because he's trying to invoke a discussion about the whole topic because of white supremacy. And you guys are just never happy. My mission here should not be to get people to agree with me logically. Start thinking logically. Maybe my mission should be just to try to make liberals happy. Just once in their life. Just once. Because they don't seem to be happy. I would like to see them happy just collectively, just once. Openly happy. You can be openly gay, so why not openly happy? That's what the left needs, is to be openly happy. Because they got to stop running around deleting emails. Well, they didn't do it on purpose. Well, obviously somebody did it on purpose. Because you just can't, press a delete button by accident. Before I have the liberal speech police on me. But... Well, folks, that is it for today, or for today's episode. We will be back here tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel, of course. So return and get your knowledge on, folks. I'm Rod Eccles. This has been the Rod Eccles Show. Have a great night, everybody. I'm out.